readings, and Steve Dahlbeck will be coming forward. So,
good morning. During our recent session, we discussed some of the challenges facing us, specifically anxiety, polarity, and unity in Christ. And we wanted to share that it's the desire of the CPC session to provide faithful shepherding during this time. I'm going to lead us off in prayer. I'm going to read some of the one another verses and be followed by an experience between Drew and Matt, and then lastly by Aaron, who will share an elder thought. So let us pray. Gracious God and Father of all, we ask according to your glory through the power of your Spirit to strengthen our inner being so that Christ may dwell in our hearts, that we may be rooted and grounded through faith in your love, and through your grace live in humility and gentleness, patiently bearing with one another in love, to maintain the unity of the Spirit and build up the body of Christ in the bond of peace and the knowledge of the Son of God. This is from mostly the letters of Paul. Accept one another as Christ accepted you. Bear with each other. Be at peace with one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Consider others better than yourself. Forgive each other. Have equal concern for each other. And pray for each other.
So, a few months ago, I saw an opportunity to encourage Drew in a somewhat difficult circumstance that I saw he was in. So I thought really hard about how I could do this, and then invited Drew out to lunch with me. I didn't have that list of verses in front of me that Steve just read, but I was attempting at that time to be devoted in brotherly love to my brother in Christ, Drew. And I was certainly attempting to build him up, as 1 Thessalonians 5:11 reminds us. And in addition to those things, I'm just chock full of good advice. So I added some of that into the encouragement too. And I thought our conversation went really well. I felt pretty good about myself. I'd encouraged my brother in Christ.
So Matt and I did have a very thoughtful discussion, but I had a slightly different experience than Matt did. And there were a few points of dissension where I felt a tad critiqued. And I'm sad to say this. At the time, I felt that maybe Matt had a subtle agenda. So I went back and forth in my mind of, do I challenge Matt on what his motives were, or am I becoming bitter in my own heart? And finally, I was like, I just need to call Matt and have an open discussion with him. And so I had seen in my own heart, frankly, a bitterness that was beginning to form with a brother that I really loved and a friend that I loved. And I knew that we needed to have more of a conversation. And I reflect on a couple of verses. Be at peace with one another from Mark 9:50. And then from Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love.
So Drew left me a voicemail first about how our lunch conversation had gone and that he wanted to talk with me. And I was shocked to discover that he didn't share my fond memories of this wonderful conversation that we'd had. I knew my intentions had been so excellent, but my brother in Christ had not actually received good from me. And as I've continued to reflect on that conversation, I can see more and more how all my good intentions got wrapped up extra advice I thought I'd throw in. My actual behavior did not match the intentions. And I was actually deceiving myself. And so after that voicemail, we talked together on the phone, bearing with one another in Christ.
So I got to tell you, when Matt and I spoke, an incredible relief flooded over me. In fact, I'm going a little off script, Matt, but Matt, at the time when I said, this is how I took the conversation, his response was, wow. And it wasn't, I can't believe you would think that. It was, I realized how quickly it could be misperceived. And I also had to reflect on the fact that, what were my motives in the conversation? And had I been fairly judging a brother in Christ and what he was trying to seek? And again, to reiterate, I was so deeply relieved that there was a misperception, and it literally was like 10 seconds and our friendship had been restored. That's how easy it frankly was. So from 1 Samuel 16:7, for the Lord sees not as man. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So fast forward a month and our families get together for dinner. And this time the walls had been broken down and
Drew and I discussed politics. So Drew and I do have some differences in our political perspectives, but we actually discussed them in person. We prayed together, we shared a meal, and this was a context in which we'd already agreed on our foundation in the gospel. We had already decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified.
We discussed a wide array of political and cultural topics, including a bit about our backgrounds and how we had arrived at our different views. What shined through was the fact that although we had a few disagreements, ultimately Matt and I were united in Christ. And what made the conversation most fruitful was that we were face to face and we were actively listening to one another and respecting others' points of views.
So it's easy to disagree with somebody on the other side of a tweet or the other side of an email and to be fixated on how right I am. Do you ever have those kinds of fantasy conversations, those fantasy arguments? I do. And in these arguments, I just prove to myself how right I am. And then I'd say this, and then they're going to say that, and then I'm just going to crush them with my comeback. I actually do this way too often. I forget Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. But here in this conversation, there's my friend Drew. He's across the room from me, socially distant. And I know that he is loved by Jesus and that he loves Jesus just like I do. And I could understand his story and I could sympathize with him. And so instead of growing in my fantasized certainty about how right I am and how wrong everybody else is, I was humbled by my growing understanding of how the Lord is sanctifying my brother without requiring him to agree with me about everything.
Like Matt, I was also guilty of the false narratives of what I thought he was doing. And as I played through that false narrative, I allowed my heart to drift towards bitterness. But when I was face to face with my brother Matt, I was deeply convicted that what mattered more wasn't political differences or cultural differences, but a faithfulness to one another in Christ. And during that several hour conversation, I never sensed that Matt wanted to change my point of view. I didn't want to change his point of view. But we really, truly just wanted to listen to one another. A couple more verses. Consider others better than yourself, Philippians 2:3, and have equal concern for each other, 1 Corinthians 12:25.
Drew and I were friends long before these conversations, but it had been a really long time since we'd really talked. Experiences reminded me that our real unity is in Christ. Everything else is secondary. I'll close my part of this story by noting Paul's loving admonishment to the Corinthians, an admonishment that I need and that I suspect all of us need. In the Corinthian church, there were factions with believers quarreling about which teacher they followed. I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 is where these come from. I get the sense that Paul can barely contain himself when he asks rhetorically, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? even regarding these matters within the church. Believers are not to be divided, but instead to move beyond these things and remember their unity in Christ. So for us, in today's controversial world of anxiety, how much more should we not be divided by whom we follow outside the church on Twitter or on Facebook or on YouTube, but instead remember and carefully nurture our unity in Christ?
So spending time with Matt was a helpful reminder that thoughtful brothers and sisters in Christ are going to have disagreements. But it's on the non-essentials. And spending time with Matt, what we realize is that on the essentials, on the faith, on the gospel, on Reformed theology, as elders, as brothers, as friends, we're united on what actually matters most. And despite the fact that our differences were highlighted, I actually walked away from that interaction feeling much closer with Matt. And the other thing that was abundantly clear is even our differences weren't as different as we thought they were. We're actually much more united, even on the non-essentials, than I thought we were. But more importantly, and again to reiterate, we were united on the essentials, on our unity in Christ. So I just want to end with James 1:19 and then one more quick thought. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to answer. My experience with Matt is that he was very quick to listen to me and extend an incredible amount of courtesy. And then a last note, I think in this political environment, we want a king desperately, and we're putting our hope in Joe Biden or Donald Trump or any other political person. But today, right now, Christ is literally on the throne, and he was resurrected and put at the right hand of the Father. He actually is reigning now today. And that is our hope. And eventually Christ will come back down and redeem this present earth. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. And he will reign here. And that injustice that we see, the things that burden our heart will finally be made pure and whole. And we will be in a garden-like state. And that is ultimately our hope. In closing, I'm thankful for you, brother, and I love you.
Likewise. Thanks, you too.
Wanted to also share 1 Corinthians 8, which is among Paul's admonishments to the Corinthians. Now about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs while love builds up. Know something. Do not yet know as they ought to know. But whoever loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and there is no God but one. For even there are so-called gods, whether on heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, whom we live. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone possesses this knowledge. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a god. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block for the weak. For if someone with a weak conscience sees you, with all your knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, won't that person be emboldened to eat with sacrifice to idols? So this weak brother or sister for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. So how does this passage apply to us? Is it just about food sacrificed to idols? The original context was understood in the framework of Jewish dietary laws and pagan idol practices of the time. The Jewish dietary and kosher laws formed their understanding of what we take in and nourish ourselves with or corrupt ourselves with. What do we align ourselves with and how we delineate our cultural identity? And to that extent, it is also, again, about idolatry. So what are our idols? And what is our knowledge? What are we sure about? What do we seek to be right in? Or at least, what are we sure others are wrong about? Is it our career, our calling, the economy, political outcomes, justice, liberty, safety, health, our theology? These are all things that we may seek out or place our hope in or our trust in. Or if these appear to be threatened, they can create concern, fear, outrage, or indignance. And these are not bad things by themselves. We are no better if we eat or do not eat. But these become idols when we don't sacrifice them to the Lord and place our first and full trust in Him. John Piper draws out the contrasting themes for this passage. The first is that knowledge leads to pride, and pride leads to lovelessness, and lovelessness leads to destruction. And the contrast to that is that God's election and our knowledge of His election leads to humility, which leads to a true knowing, which leads to serving and loving the people of God and God Himself, which in turn leads to building up others to know and to love God. So how do we practice this? We need to recognize and resist being puffed up with knowledge. And we do this by simply seeking the humility which comes from our knowledge of God's election and ultimately serves the building up of others to know and love God. The detached nature of our modern life, and the pandemic even more so, means that we no longer live among our neighbors daily. It makes it very easy for us to live apart in a bubble which can fill us with confidence in our knowledge. We used to live in community. We were meant to live in community. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 tells us, "And let us consider how we spur one another onwards toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Our ability to isolate and expose ourselves only to the most appealing form of our own views, or to the most vile form of differing views, allows us to create a fiction that someone who disagrees with us must certainly hold this fantastically evil opposing view. This is the epitome of puffed up knowledge. It can be more complex than that, though. Sin in our hearts can puff up all manner of knowledge. For me, the knowledge that both have flawed views and that we should carefully and humbly examine them is puffed up knowledge. I get too easily frustrated with a brother or sister who is unable to examine their own position. When we do have discussions with others, we must do so in love and be careful not to be a stumbling block for each other. This applies not only to the topics being discussed, but even initiating or continuing the discussion itself. Be sensitive to your brother or sister in Christ and put aside all things that may get in the way of building them up in the Lord. If this means a discussion will not build each other up, either because of our prideful knowledge or the weakness of our brother or sister, we need to put that discussion aside. But we need to do this in such a way that there's no unspoken subtext, no elephant in the room that still points to our possession of knowledge, but in a selfless way, where our interactions are full of mutual blessing and uplifting. Do not avoid interaction, but actively seek to build one another up in Christ. For further reading on this topic, I would commend Romans 12, 13, and 14, which goes into more detail. And or if you're looking for a briefer form, there's a great 6-minute John Piper sermon. If you Google John Piper, Love Builds Up, or contact me and I can give you the link.
Let's pray once again, and then we'll have our hymn of response. Please bow your heads with me. Glorious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your Son, Jesus, through whose blood alone we can come into your presence, and by whose work you call us together, that we would be built up as your church with Christ as our chief cornerstone. And so, Father, we look to our Lord Jesus. We look to you. We look to your Spirit. We thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to sanctify us as your people, May it be true that the world would know we are yours because of our love. Our love for you, our love for one another, and our love for our neighbors. We ask all this for your glory, O Lord, and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Please stand with me now as you're able, and we'll sing our hymn of response, The Church's One Foundation.